Well, I haven't made any videos of late because I'm too busy simulating. It's taking me something like 12 hours on the computer per run of the simulator to create a condition to go to the next 12. Well, to create the database that takes up all the free space on my hard drive, something like half a terabyte, a data file. To get a 6-millisecond analysis going, because I suspect the surge is no more than about that anyway in length, and that's about all the space I have in my hard drive for the simulator to plot all the data points. So, or to plot derive from those data points to plot the tracing. So while it's doing all that, and it's going to take a few days of doing this, but I figured out how to regulate a surge is to put resistors on either side of the aerials, quarantine them. And that allows voltage to get through, but it does not allow current to go back to them. And so I'm regulating the current, not the voltage. And that's important because, despite the fact that, well, this is a current-oriented surge, okay? But the source of the current is the voltage coming from the aerials. But it's not a whole lot. It's 1 microvolt coming from each of them. That's what I set them at in the simulator, because to create a surge, how much do you need? Well, I could go down to 1 e to the negative 100, but then the surge is dead. It never comes alive in the first place. So I do want it to exist. I just don't want it to get out of hand. And I want it to be quarantined for its duration, and then I can let go the quarantine when it's over and let the motor function normally. So what I envision are switches to switch the resistors in and then switch them out after the surge has completed itself, its run, so that now the motor can go back to normal functioning. Because the resistors are in the way for normal functioning of the motor, but they have to be there to as a safety check against the surge, which only happens in the beginning when the simulator comes on. Or at any other time the surge should occur. I mean, if it should happen that it happens later, then the switches have to engage the resistors. Now, the resistors don't have to be very big, oddly enough. I have them up to 7 zeros. So 1 followed by 7 zeros is 10 million ohms. And I think they should be at 8. So that would be 100 million ohms, 100 mega ohms. And that it's a funny thing. The current level on L1, either I can shimmy it one way or the other. I can either get it down to nanovolts thereabouts, or it goes up to E to the, let's say, 88 zeros, depending on whether or not the resistor is a factor of 10 more or less. You know, if I'm at that point of when I increase the probe analysis or the transient analysis by a factor of 10 in duration, so let's say I go from 100 nanoseconds to 1 microsecond, then I'm allowed to increase the resistors by a factor of 10 as well. And I get pretty much the same results. Or I can take one at a time. I can increase the duration of the analysis by a factor of 10. And that'll raise, it'll raise the, let's say previously the voltage on L1 was in the nano range. Then it'll raise it up to the 88, E to the 88 range. And then, so then I can raise, hobble, one at a time. And then, so then I can raise the resistor by a factor of 10. And that'll drop the current, the voltage on L1 down to, the nanovolt range. And so I can either do it that way, or now that I know how it works, I can do both at the same time. So I imagine that the resistor should be 100 mega ohms during the surge on either side of the aerials to keep the voltage on L1 down in the nanovolt range, and then when the surge is over, I can change the switching so that the resistors are switched out of the circuit and they're shorted, basically, with a wire, piece of wire, you know. And so that means the switches have to have very little resistance. Well, they do. When they're open, they have a lot of resistance. They have either 10 mega ohms or 1 giga ohm. But when they're, depending on which model, switch model you use, but when they're closed, they have 1 milliohm. 1 milliohm's not bad. Could be worse, because it does affect the performance of the motor if the resistance goes above 10 milliohms. That's what I kept my limit at in order for it to behave properly. So 2 milliohms, or even, well, no, it, at most it would be 2 milliohms in series. So that's not bad. Then I just subtract that from the 10 alongside of it. Or no, actually, I don't have to, because they're all in parallel, so they tend to be very reduced. Anywho, so my thought is this. You regulate the current, not the voltage. The voltage is coming in from the aerials. You don't want to regulate that, because if you do, you kill the surge. You don't want to kill the surge, you just want to quarantine it temporarily. So what you do is you regulate the consequence of voltage. Remember, this is a motor transformer. It steps up the voltage of the aerial. That's why the input of voltage can be so low, provided the frequency is high, very high. But we regulate the consequence of the surge so as not to kill it, rather than the cause of the surge, which would kill it. So if we had done anything to regulate the voltage, then that would kill the surge. But if we regulate the current, we're regulating the consequence of the surge, and consequently, we merely regulate the damage the surge could produce, potentially, to the device, if it was actually built. Because that's what the transformer creates, is lots of current. The current does not come from the aerial. It cannot come from the air, because the air is not a voltage source, per se, of any degree. Current has to come from a high voltage source as it moves to a low voltage source, and so it comes from the transformer, the voltage side, L1 and L2, and moves towards the starter coils 1, 2, and 3, and the aerials, because that's where the voltage is low. And so that's where the current ends up. But it cannot come from the aerials, from the air, because the aerials are 1 microvolt, while L1 and L2 are hundreds of volts. So how can the current come from the air and move to from a low voltage source from the air through the aerial, through the radio tuners, to a high voltage source at L1 and L2? That's against known laws of physics. So it's impossible to claim that any power, and power is current plus voltage, can come from the air. No way. That's bogus. So the people who are trying to get energy from the air don't even analyze the situation. You cannot get current from the air. Consequently, you cannot get power from the air. Okay? It's not going to happen. It has to come from a greater voltage source. Now, if you've got capacitance, you can toy with that. You know, if you've got a humongous capacitance and it may not look like much voltage, you can probably tweak it to liberate some of its voltage. I don't know. But that's, you know, just I'm thinking out loud. But this is a situation in which I'm not connected to the Earth, so it doesn't count. So that's not even relevant to bring up. I don't know why I'm bringing it up. Maybe because, yeah, let's forget about that and just stay focused here. So we're dealing with the air alone as our voltage source, so we're not going to get any power from it. It's impossible. We have to manufacture the power in-house by stepping up the voltage that we get from the aerials and then feeding that back as a reaction to the source to complete the cycle, to complete the circle. And then we have a complete circle of amplified power via first amplifying the voltage, and then consequently the current comes back as a reaction, as a consequential reaction. Okay? So just as long as we get that straight.